This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscoen in for Terry Gross. There's some boxing news today. Mike Tyson withdrew his application for a boxing license in New Jersey and has instead applied for a license to fight in Nevada. You'll remember it was last year in Nevada when Tyson lost that license after he bit off a piece of Evander Holyfield's ear during a match. My guest photographer Larry Fink was first introduced to the world of boxing more than a decade ago when he was assigned to photograph Jimmy Jacobs, Tyson's former manager. He's been obsessed with the sport ever since. His book of black and white photographs called Boxing captures the gentler side of the sport. Fink went to training gyms, many of them in Philadelphia, and shot what goes on behind the scenes. The hard work of training, the relationship between the boxer and the trainer, the dingy settings, and the fans. My other guest, Bert Sugar, is well known to boxing fans as a writer and commentator and one of the most passionate authorities on the sport. He wrote an essay on the history of boxing in Larry Fink's book. He's also got a new bi-monthly magazine called Bert Sugar's Fight Game. They both join us today on Fresh Air to talk about boxing. Let me just say, I'm very struck by the contrast from the photographs that I see, the kind of intimacy that you've been able to capture in the gym, the tenderness, the touching, which I think does contradict and contrast what most people are familiar with boxing, which is what you see in the ring, two guys beating each other up.
And that's what it's for and what it's about. It's about a symbolic, you know, conquest of another man's territory to inflict some sort of doom on him. But in the gym, albeit for territorial divides and rights, there's a good deal of caring and a good deal of paternal tenderness amongst the trainer and the fighter and the various people who are part of the coterie. It was that really, really stimulated my interest. It was the fact that gladiators could be mothered by their own father.
Hmm. Larry Fink, how would you describe the sounds, the smells of a boxing gym?
Well, that could be a very, very long story, start to describe smells. But there's the smells of body, which are sometimes acid and sometimes sweet. There's certainly the sound of, there's a certain kind of gesture that they do when they look out to shadow box and punch. There's a... It's kind of a concentrating of your breath and, you know, so it becomes in alignment with your body and the striking, you know, pose of your fist. But the smells are also of the dank wood, of the spit on the floor and of the ages and ages and ages of bad and good intentions.
Larry Fink, when you're photographing, do you try to be invisible? If you come into a gymnasium, do you introduce yourself to some of the boxers and the trainers that are there, or do you try to just work like a fly on the wall?
Much more hygienically so than the fly on the wall. That is no... It's a rife place.
I understand.
At any rate, I do introduce myself. I come into the gym. I mean, indeed, I'm not one of those guys who hangs around and becomes part of the kind of the network, so I'm not a known factor. Right. And when I do come in, it's a special event. And I do introduce myself, and many of the guys and the kids who are boxing and training and stuff come up and want their picture taken in the traditional way, and I do that, and yet then I explain that I would rather work in a candid fashion, and then I become invisible. But the only way to become invisible in my sport of photographing is to be absolutely and utterly visible, which is to say, to photograph with real freedom, with real direction, with real drive, with utter confidence.
What I find looking through your photographs is just this portrait of backs and shoulders and skin. We see the sweat, we see the pores, a sensuality that I found really very touching, very moving, very beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
Let me say something about Larry's photos.
Yeah, go ahead, Bert Sugar.
They are as untraditional as you can get, and I think that's what makes them rare. They are not X hitting Y and Y's face contorted. They're everything almost but that traditional, and I don't say classic because I think Larry's are. They aren't. Traditional photo of the hitting. These are everything in and around and leading up to, but it is the people and, as you pointed out very aptly, the sensuality of these people in this sport, this machismatic sport, who are, I think, the interest and what really is Larry's forte.
I want to talk a little bit more about the relationship between the boxer and the trainer. And Larry Fink, you said what you saw were fathers mothering these young men. I mean, that's the kind of, I guess, outsider looking at this relationship. What does it mean when a father mothers a boxer?
Well, in our culture, very, very often, men don't have the license to touch one another. And somehow or another, when guys put on gloves, first of all, they can't even go to the bathroom by themselves. So they have to be cared for by the men who surround them and who wipe down their ears and get the sweat off their face and so on and so forth. So what it does is it brings to bear a new license of physical immersion, if you will. So the mothering is just simply touching.
If I may, Marty.
Go ahead, Bert Sugar.
Yeah. You excuse the pun, or two-thirds of a pun, P.U., that in talking about touching, there is a touching act at the end of boxing that you never see in other sports, with maybe the exception after the final Stanley Cup game where they line up all the hockey players and shake hands. Mm-hmm. There is more hugging and appreciation by boxers who have fought each other in the ring after they've just taken all these rounds to try to do whatever they can and beat the bejabbers out of each other than I've ever seen in any sport.
Boxers hugging boxers.
After 10 rounds or 12 rounds or how many rounds it is, hugging each other in appreciation and respect for what they have stood for and as long as they've stood.
Over and over again it happens. It's really, it's a real act of majesty.
An act of majesty.
Yeah.
To go from this combat then to this very caring, tender affection.
Yeah.
And an appreciation of another person, which is rare in sports where everything seems dominated by a seek and destroy approach, no matter what the sport.
More with photographer Larry Fink and sports writer Bert Sugar after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Well, we're talking about boxing today, and our guests are photographer Larry Fink, and he has a book of photographs called Boxing, and in that book is an essay by Bert Sugar, a boxing commentator, has written many, many books about boxing, and a former editor of Ring Magazine and Boxing Illustrated. Reading your essay, Bert Sugar, about boxing, looking some at the history and looking some at the sociology, it is a lens, I think, to understand certain parts of this country's history. Certainly, it's an urban sport, one that has, I guess, took root and really stayed in cities, right?
In the main, that's right, Marty. There are exceptions, but those exceptions, more than anything, make the rules. It's kids who were raised in very crowded atmospheres, had to fight for survival, fight for their way out, fight for pride, fight for territory, turf, as Larry said, anything. Going all the way back to the Irish tenements of the 1840s, through the ghettos of the early Jewish settlers of the first decade of the 20th century, to the Italians, the African Americans, then called blacks in the now projects, Latinos in the barrios, whatever. They had to do this to survive, and in many cases were able to translate and channel this into boxing itself.
And do you think boxing is a way of then, and I guess I'm speaking metaphorically here, though, a way of fighting your way into society and thinking about these various immigrant groups? They all had their boxing champs who fought for them.
Fought for their pride, fought for their identification, and they all vicariously, and not every Irishman fought, but they identified with John L. Sullivan, and not every Jewish immigrant on the Lower East Side fought, but they identified with Benny Leonard, and the Italians with Rocky Marciano, and the blacks with Joe Louis, and the Latinos with Roberto Duran and others. It's a, you know, he's theirs. He's their symbol. And through his success, their success grows. It's a major thing in the growth of this country.
Has a boxer, and perhaps even a good boxer, ever come from the upper classes?
The closest, and I was asked that recently, the closest we can ever, I mean, there have been Anthony Biddle Duke fought Philadelphia Jack O'Brien and got his head handed to him in sparring matches. I mean, boxing does not get its recruits at the debutante line at the country club, but there have been borderline middle-class kids, Gene Tunney having been one. He studied Shakespeare. And you know what? The fight crowd didn't appreciate him because he was not one of them. These kids are scrappers. They're scrapping for a piece of life, a piece of success, a piece, if you will, of history, even momentary history, by being called champion. And it's a wonderful thing to see. But upper class, no, let them play polo is the thought.
Well, Larry Fink, is that also what interests you in boxing? Because it's about perhaps class struggle. It's about racial and ethnic issues, which are still very, very raw today. Do you
Extremely
see that?
Raw.
I mean, do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I have a slight political history in this of about class struggle, and certainly the underclass moving his way up through his fist through individuated victories is certainly part of my interest for sure. Yeah,
because you've also taken photographs of society people.
Oh yeah, over the years, I mean, a long time ago, I was on this program with a book called Social Graces, which was a group of pictures from rural Pennsylvania, real working class, pithy, you know, funky types, and then people from the debutante balls, not the boxing recruits, though. So I've always, my work has always been involved with aspects of power and mm-hmm. how it doesn't actually fulfill you, even though you think it might.
Well, it's interesting, Larry Fink, to think about, I guess, the power of the fist in boxing and the kind of economic, political, social power associated with the upper classes. How do you photograph that? What's the visual difference?
The visual difference is profound. I mean, the boxers are half naked. They're full of their bodies. They're full of a certain kind of sensuality and thrust, and they're full of a primary, individuated kind of, you know, competitiveness. Whereas in the Wall Street, in the debutantes, there's a tremendous amount of tittering and self-consciousness and a vanity of a different order, where people are much more prone to neurotic tremolos than basic fisticuffs.
Boxing, if I may just jump
Go
in
ahead,
here, Marty. Why boxing appeals to me is in this era of homogenization where everything is big business and big this and big that, one of the last refuge of individual entrepreneurship and individualism is boxing. It's boxing. This is a single sport by a single man against another single man. It's not one of 11 or one of 9 or one of 5 in the world of sports, or one of millions getting downsized in that big firm in the sky. This is one man, and he's going to make his way as one man.
It's a family farm.
What do you make of the fans, Larry Fink? And they certainly, you have photographs in them. They're watching very carefully, and then there are moments when, of course, they're exploding with either delight or horror. What's the kind of texture you get from them? What do they bring to the game, the sport?
Well, since I'm in the front row, most of the texture that I get is sort of steamy and projectiles,
I've seen Larry. He always looks like a Sunday school teacher turning around looking like he's waiting for the next spitball to hit him.
Really? One-eyed Larry here. But what I make of them, I mean, it depends on what section of the gym you go into, whether it be the lawyers or the street thugs. On what kind of delivery do they give you, the photographer. But the photographer being in the front row, a fine artist of some repute, you know, some kind of reputation, has no reputation whatsoever to a fight fan, who says down in front, and when they say it, they mean it, and you better get down.
I've seen that act. This, while they are, and I think there is more, if you will, comradeship amongst boxing fans, even if you're on the other side of the coin from them and you think X is going to win and they think Y is going to win, you're sharing more with them than I ever have at anything except a college football game. There is a camaraderie there. You're there to see a fight and you are talking to them, and I enjoy these people. And no, I'm not taking them home for dinner, But yes, I am taking him to the corner pub to analyze a fight because that is our milieu and that's where we met and that's what we have in common.
You know, it's interesting. In traveling around the country as a photographer, I'll be in airports for only too long periods of time, and I'll see a guy with a boxing magazine, and I'll go up to him, or they'll go, and we'll start talking, and immediately we have a kind of fraternity which is unusual to this world. For me, it's brought an entirely new vista into my life.
I want to thank both of you so much for joining us today on the show. I'm sorry we're out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
Photographer Larry Fink and sports writer Bert Sugar. Their book is Boxing.